Well, thank you, John. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Well, we've had a wonderful, wonderful December in attendance and giving, and but those going into the baptistry, thank God for that. We had been praying for 30, and we're right at 40 for the month, and we're grateful to God for that. I think it's 39. I need one more person to be baptized today to get to 40. And I'm being serious. If you'll come forward at the end of this service, I'm about to preach here in just a minute, and we're going to take the offering at the end. After we take the offering, we'll baptize you if you've come today to be obedient unto the Lord. All right? So you be thinking about it. You just come meet the pastor. You say, well, I don't have a chance. We got to change the clothes for you in the back. All right? And we'll help you get that done. Some of you ought to follow the Lord in baptism this very day in this year and start the next in obedience. So we'll take the offering at the end of the service, give you time to do just that. Hey, if you're our guest today, thank you for coming. This is, it's an odd day for us. I mean, we just put everybody together in one service. I've had people ask me, well, why don't we just have one? Well, because you fill the building up like this and then guests don't have room to come get in. That's the reason we do two services, is so we can have room and people come and feel comfortable walking in. But from time to time, we gather like this all together one time, and it's a good day to do that with no small groups and toward the end of the year. And we're just glad that you're here. It gives the pastor an opportunity to preach about an hour and 20 minutes, and we just come together and have a good time. So thank you for being here. If you're our guest today, thank you. Hope you'll find the guest card. They're right there in the pew right in front of you. Just pull one out, fill it out. I've met people from all over everywhere coming in this morning. A lot of family in. Just let us know you're here. Fill that out and tell us that. Also in the worship guide, you'll find a lot of things. If you're a part of our family and you don't get our text reminders, there's a number there at 94,000 where you can just text Olive to us. That'll put you on the list, and we'll text you from time to time with special things that are going on. So you do that. Then one other item that is here. You remember last year we put together this Olive Baptist Church business directory, and scores and scores and scores and scores of people in our church that have businesses throughout Northwest Florida put their name and ads and all of that in these books, and they're in. It's 125th anniversary edition. It's got a little history of the church in front. And then if you're looking for somebody to help you with something, if they put their stuff in there, you can take one of these books and have that. And we'd ask you just take one per family. They're out at the welcome desk today, so on your way out, feel free, just stop by and get one. Take it. You say, well, I don't think I'd need that. I'll tell you what you could do. You could use this to pray for businesses during the year. Just walk through that. Just pray for that. Pray for that person. Pray for that. And you never know, something may pop up. You've got a need, and they're there to help you. So you be finding that, and that business director's right out there for you, just making that available to you today. Now, in just a moment, John's going to lead us, and we're going to sing a chorus, and then we're going to open the Word of God to Psalm 71, and I'll preach. And we'll look at verses 17 and 18 in just a moment. So you've got your Bible, Psalm 71. But just before we get there, John's going to lead us, and let's sing together just now. Brother John?
Sing this. Oh, Lord, my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe display. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art,
the chorus. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul.
Amen, John. Thank you. Psalm 71. I'll be reading in a moment verses 17 and 18. In 10 months, almost 11, we will come to the end of October in 2020. And you will have put up with me as your pastor for 30 years. At my 25th anniversary, we had a celebration, and you gave a trip to Liz and myself. And we took that, and we flew to Europe, and we started in London. We went into Churchill's bunker, and there we went over to Normandy. And then we started after that going north. And we visited what Liz and I affectionately have called the pulpit tour. I had my picture made behind scores of pulpits from history. John Knox, Spurgeon, Wesley, varied places that we went following that Great Awakening trail. We wound up in Scotland, and we spent a couple of days there, and the last 2 days we just rested. Those two mornings I would go out, there was a little pond next to our hotel, and there was a little house, for those of you that deer hunt, it's kind of like a shooting house, but it really was not that. It was a place kind of like a blind where you could watch the birds come in to that area. And so I would go there early in the morning, sit and read my Bible. And while I sat there, God gave me a promise for the fourth quarter of my life. And it's Psalm 71, verses 17 and 18. Where the Word of God says, this is David writing, at least we think it's David. We're not certain, 100% sure, that David wrote Psalm 71. Most people think that he did. Spurgeon says he did, so that's good enough. And in that, David's at the end of his life. And this is his prayer in his sunset years, in the last quarter. Now, I'm going to ask you as I read the Word of God, if you are 25 years of age, if you are 25 years of age or younger, I want you to rise and stand. You're 25 or younger, I want you to stand all across this room. They're everywhere up in the balcony hiding. Yeah. Amen. 25 or younger. Good. Now you listen to the word. Remain standing as I read our text for the morning. David said, "O God, you've taught me from my youth, and I still declare your wondrous deeds. And even when I am old and gray and bald and thinning, oh God, do not forsake me until I declare your strength to this, the present generation, and your power to all who are to come." Now, youthful generation, listen to the pastor. This is my prayer, that those that are older than you would teach you about the strength and the power of Almighty God. If we are going to reach your generation, we need you to be evangelists. Not you alone, because we all must do it, but you know your peer group best. And for those of you that are still seated, what these folks standing today need, they don't need funky lights. They don't need the most modern, up-to-date electronics. That's important. But what they need more than anything is the strength and the power of God displayed in your life, so they can see it and catch it and learn how to have it for themselves. It's the power, the strength of Almighty God. Father, I ask you now in these next moments, come and strengthen power on this preacher and help me deliver this message from my heart to every generation. But Lord, for these that are standing before us, anoint them, break them, use them, fill them, and teach them, I pray. And I pray, oh God, when they are seated and their children and children's children stand, that that next coming generation will have seen the strength and power of heaven in their lives. Make it so, I pray, in Jesus' name. And all the people of God said together, amen. Thank you, young people. You be seated as we dive into this text for just a few moments today. Notice what David said. Lord, since I was just a pup, I was just a lad, when I was a youth, you have taught me all of your wondrous deeds. Since I was just small, you taught me about strength and power. It seems like David's being redundant here. Strength and power seems to be the same thing, but it's not. There's two different Hebrew words. The word strength is the word for arm, where the Bible says the arm of God is not shortened that he can't reach and save to the uttermost. This strength is the outward manifestation of God. This is the arm of God. Thank you, orchestra, for being on your best behavior today. You're on the camera for television and for the Warrington broadcast, so don't go to sleep today, all right? And every now and then just shout, amen. 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 That's good, all right? You can play an instrument if you want to. I don't care. Strength is the outward manifestation. It's when God shows up and shows out. Sometimes we just need God to do the miraculous among us outwardly, and we see it. But the word power is a different Hebrew construct, and it speaks of the inward manifestation of God. That is the peace that passes all worldly understanding. I've preached more funerals this Christmas than ever I can remember. I had a funeral Friday. I had a funeral yesterday. I will leave here and go to the Warrington campus for lunch with the military, and then I have a funeral this afternoon at 2:30. Then I have another funeral on Tuesday that I'll be doing. And you know what all of those people need when they walk by that? They need the peace that passes all worldly understanding. They need the power of God that just settles their soul to say, all is well. When you've lost that job, you need the peace of God just to settle your soul to say, all is well. Sometimes you don't need the arm of God, the outward manifestation. Sometimes you need the power of God for the inward manifestation. manifestation, where he just simply whispers, it's going to be all right. I've got this. And you trust him with all your soul. David said, Lord, you've been teaching me this since I was a little boy. How did God teach David? Well, let me just give you three quick illustrations how God taught David when he's just a little boy. He taught him, first of all, with a shepherd's crook. He was sitting out there on the backside of the desert in 1 Samuel 16. You know the story. David is a shepherd. He'd have never written Psalm 23 if he hadn't been a shepherd boy to start with. He's sitting out there on a big rock holding a shepherd's crook, and he's watching the sheep. It was there that he got to know the Lord. Listen to me, young people. Until you learn to hear from God by yourself, not from your mama, not from your daddy, not your pastor, not your Sunday school teacher, but in your own quiet time, in obscurity, by yourself, it's there that God teaches you about strength and power. You got to get all alone. No man can teach you about that. David said, Lord, you've taught me since I was but a youth. And David would go there every day in the quietness, and he learned how to deal with the sheep and the wolf and the bear, and he would deal with that in the strength and the power of Almighty God. He learned in obscurity, but secondly, you know the story. He learned not only from the shepherd's crook, he learned from his own sling, from David's sling. You can just see David. He's sitting out there on a big rock watching the sheep, and he'd take that sling. He was sitting out there one day, and he got a text from his daddy up at the house. And he said, David, come up here. So David got to the house, obeying his daddy like every boy should. He said, yes, sir. He said, you know, your brothers are down at the battlefront with the Philistines, and I want you to go down and check on them, and I want you to take wine and cheese to them. And so he gathered up the wine and cheese, and he went down to the front, and you know the story. David is there, and a man walks out. He's 9 feet 6 inches tall. He's Goliath. And he walks out, and he curses the God of Israel. And when he curses the God of Israel, everybody starts stepping back, except David starts stepping forward. And he looks around. He's standing there all by himself. And he said, is no one going to deal with this uncircumcised Philistine? And they said, mm-mm. And David had put 5 stones in his shepherd's pouch. No Goliath looked over there and down at him. He said, why do you send a dog out to deal with me? And old David took a rock. Hit him right in the head. Bible says he fell. The rock didn't kill him. Knocked him out. Then David took Goliath's own sword and cut his head off. That did the trick right there. Goliath is graveyard dead. You see, what God taught David is that he had to trust him in obscurity, and God spoke to his heart. And then you have to learn. Listen to me, young people. You must learn there are some times when you must trust God and God alone and stand alone, and nobody will stand with you. They'll stand around you, and they'll say yay and nay, but you must stand alone in the midst of the crowd with the power and strength of Almighty God upon you. That's what this generation needs. Is to stand in strength and power. He taught him with the shepherd's crook. He taught him with David's. But thirdly, he taught him with Jonathan's arrows. You remember the story in 1 Samuel chapter 20 that David had a good friend. His name's Jonathan. And Jonathan said, man, I'm afraid that the king's going to try to kill you. He said, you probably got to leave. He went out and he shot the arrow. He said, listen, David, if I shoot the arrow far, you got to leave. If I shoot it short, you can stay. David was hiding in the bushes, and he shot the arrow far, and Jonathan sent his servant to fetch it. And the Bible says that David came from the woods on the south side. He was a Southern Baptist. He came from the south side of the field, the Bible says. And he fell on Jonathan's neck, and he kissed him. Jonathan said, you're going to have to leave. Listen, there comes a day when you have to leave. You have to leave home. You go off to college. You get married. You leave for the military. We got a young man coming to pray at the end of this service, getting ready to go off to the military. There'll be people at the Warrington campus. We send them out all the time going off to the military. Dear friend, when you leave and go out from here, you must go in the strength and the power of Almighty God. But don't forget your Jonathans. Friendship is so important with the strength and it's bad company corrupts good morals. You got to hang out with God's people. You got to walk in prime fellowship with people that love God. You ought not date outside your faith. Why? Even if you're going to fall in love with somebody that doesn't love Jesus. I've just watched so many young men do it. Their old Adam's apple gets to going up and down, their heart goes pitter-patter. And she's walking away from God. She'll lead you to death. You better find somebody, your friends, that become a mate that you can walk. God taught him on the backside of the desert with a shepherd's crook. He taught him with his own sling. He taught him with the arrows of Jonathan. And David said, "Oh God, even when I'm old and gray, don't let me forsake you until I declare the strength of this generation and power to all who are to come." Old and gray. Some of you can identify with that. I have a little bald spot beginning in the back. I turn around, people see it on that, you know, it doesn't look so bad up close, but you put it up on that screen, it isn't any too big. It's about this big. A few years ago, I had a young lady who was cutting my hair, and she was cutting around my ears, and she said, "You know, Pastor, you got a few pink hairs in here." I said, "What?" She said, "It's turning pink." I said, "Well, we need to do something about that." I said, "What do you mean pink?" She said, "Well, when the red ones get next to the white ones, it makes pink ones. That's what it does." That's what she told me. I said, "Have you got anything for that?" She said, "Well, not really." I had a lady one time ask me, with my red hair, she said, "Pastor, mine's P77. What's yours?" I didn't even know hair color came by numbers. That's the way it is. I said, "Oh, sweet lady, mine's 777. God gave me this. I don't know what that P77. David said, "When I'm old and gray and bald, oh God, don't let me forget the strength and the power of God, and help me teach this generation here and the generation that's to come." It's those kids that we dedicate every four and quarters down here, and we bring those little babies. God, help us, teach them strength and power. Now, I want you to listen to me. I'm sliding toward conclusion, but it's a long way. I want you to look in your Bible. Take your Bible now and flip to the New Testament in Ephesians 6. Ephesians 6, verses 10, 11, and 12. And I just want to apply this to our life and bring us the invitation and encourage people that have never been saved to come, for somebody to come say, "I've been saved, I want to be baptized, come join his church today, come fall in his altar." Here's what Paul said. Finally, be strong in the Lord, in the strength of his might. There it is, strength and power. Be strong in the Lord in the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God so you'll be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle's not against flesh and blood, but against rulers and powers and world forces of this darkness and against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. We need strength and power. Three things I want to give you. This is my sermon outline for the morning. Rather brief, but I want you to get it. Number one, there is a struggle. For the Christian, there is a struggle. It's found in verse 12. We struggle. Our struggle, but it's not with flesh and blood. You're not fighting men and women. No, no. You're not fighting flesh. Our struggle is against rulers and powers and world forces in this darkness. Spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. The enemy is spiritual. Dear friend, guard your heart. With that, you ought to be sure of your salvation. If you didn't know if you was to die right now, you'd go to heaven. You ought to run to this altar and get saved this morning. Number one, be sure of your salvation. Number two, be sure of your surrender. That you're sold out to the Lord Jesus. That you've surrendered all to Him. And number three, be certain of your spirit-filledness. That you've come to the end of your life. You say, Lord, I can't, but you can, and pray for the fullness. There's a struggle. Dear friend, you can't win this war in the flesh. You win this floor in the spirit life. You got to know you're saved. You got to be surrendered to the Lordship of Christ, and you got to be filled with the Spirit of the living God. I sit right here in this chair every Sunday while the choir is singing, and I'm praying one prayer. I'm praying one prayer before I come to pray. I say this over and over. Lord, I believe in the ministry of the Holy Spirit. I believe in the ministry of the Holy Spirit. I believe. I'm just praying. Oh, God, you minister. I can't do it. But God draws us unto Himself. There is a struggle. And that struggle is a spiritual struggle, not a physical struggle. Number two, while there is a struggle, secondly, this text tells us the Christian must stand. The Christian must stand. Look at verse 11. Put on the full armor of God so that you'll be able to what? Stand. Stand and stand firm against the schemes. The King James says the wiles of the devil. He's got schemes that are wily. He'll trick you. That's why you got to be full of the Spirit. Therefore, you can stand. You got to stand. Don't flee. You got to stand in your place. Nobody else can stand in your place. Only you can stand in your place. And you must stand and not sleep. Too many believers today asleep, not watching. All through the Word of God, we learn about sleep. Samson slept and got a haircut. King Saul slept, lost his spear. Noah slept, and his sons dishonored him. Utica slept, and he fell out of the third story loft and died. You sleep, and you won't stand. You cannot go to sleep on God. Watch and pray. You got to learn to stand. Stand. There's a struggle. The Christian must stand. But now number three, here it is. This is it. Don't miss this. Be strong in the Lord. Notice what he says in verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord. Galatians 2:20 says, for I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. In the life that I live by faith in the Son of God that loved me and gave himself for me. When I say be strong in the Lord, now listen to, turn your ears on, don't miss it. This is not a license for your passivity. Some people just back up and say, oh, okay, let go and let God. Don't ever say that again in your life. Don't say let go and let God. That's like saying, you know, I don't have anything to do. You do have something to do with it. God energizes in you and through you, and you must put your hand to the plow. Not in the flesh, but in the spirit. You see, it's a delicate balance of God's strength and your involvement in God's strength. Now, I've watched some people just say, well, you know, I don't have anything to do it, just let God do it. And usually God doesn't do much. But then I've watched people on the other side say, well, I pray just a little bit, and then I'm going to take care. And in the flesh, you make the biggest mess you've ever seen in your life. That's how churches get messed up. It's how families get messed up. But you surrender to God, you come to the end of yourself, and then God gives you strength to go do that He calls you to do. I want to give you two illustrations of it. You got your Bible? Say amen if you got your Bible. Go to 2 Timothy very quickly. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 4. You'll find it right over there to the right from Ephesians. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Look at this. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 16. Here's what Paul said. Here's Paul's illustration of being strong in the Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16. At my first defense, no one supported me. Look at that. Paul said, I was brought before the king and the court. No one supported me, but all deserted me. May it not be counted against them. But the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, so that through me the proclamation might be fully accomplished and that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was rescued out of the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me from every evil deed and will bring me safely to His heavenly kingdom. To Him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Nobody stood with me, but God stood with me. And why did God use him? He used him so that he would stand and proclaim to all of the Gentiles. He said, I was rescued out of the lion's mouth. Now, let me tell you, that he may have been rescued out of the lion's mouth in the Roman Colosseum. But I believe the lion there very well is the Roman political leadership. And that God rescued him. Do you think Paul moved his feet when God rescued him? Oh, yeah. You think when God preached to the Gentiles, Paul opened it? Yes, Paul opened his mouth. You see, there's the strength of God and the activity of man, and you bring those together and God uses it for His glory. It's not a passivity where you don't do anything, and it's not an activity where you do it all. It is the power of God in you, the strength of God in you. And the second illustration is Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13, where Paul says, I can do all things. I see so many people, they write that down. I can do all things. I can do all things. No, you can't. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Amen. You try to do it by yourself, it's like running a toy without a battery in it. You can't do that. But the strength of God. Now listen to this. Write this down. If you're taking notes, write this down. You say, I'll remember it. No, you won't. You're not that smart. There'll be 1,000 other things in your way. Do not say, let go and let God. That sounds good, but if you let go, you don't have, no, you have something to do. It's better to say, grab hold and let God. What you should say is, make your calling and election sure. That's the Bible phrase. Make your calling and election sure. How do you do that? You step out by faith. You go forward by faith. So I'm 17 years old and I'm standing up in church like these I had stand. And the Spirit of God begins to finger around my heart. I see the preacher up preaching and the Spirit of God whispering my soul. That's what I want out of you. And I'd say, uh-uh. Not me. I said, tell you what, Lord, I'll get a job and make big money and I'll give you 25% of my income. You think you can buy God off? He don't need your money. You need to give it, but he doesn't need it. You need to give it because it teaches you faith. And it empowers the church. Well, I sat there and I just couldn't. Malcolm Stewart stayed in our house. We had a revival. He was a seminary student. He was preaching. He came back to my bedroom one day. He said, "Have you ever seen yourself as a preacher?" I said, "Well, who you been talking to?" He said, "No, I know when you get up, you give a testimony. He said, you just look natural, and I'm just thinking maybe God's called you to." I said, "Nah, Malcolm, you're barking up the wrong tree here, man. I'm going to be a basketball coach." I said, "That's what I'm going to do in my life. I'm going to coach all my life. Matter of fact, I'm going to make big money and help the church." He said, "Okay." See, you can walk away from man. You can't walk away from the Spirit of the living God. He's what Billy Graham called the hound of heaven. Son, when that hound gets on, that hound of holiness gets on your feet, on your heels, you can run, you can't win. So I was driving that old car, 60 Chevrolet. I've told you about it. Didn't have a driver, big hole in the floorboard on the driver's side. Run through that mud hole and get your feet wet. I was driving down 71. There's a little revival at the Rosalie Church. Hey, about 40 people in there that night, man. I couldn't get away from it. I pulled in. They gave the invitation. I went to the altar. I said, "God's called me to preach." That's the first time in my life after I'd been saved that I needed the strength of God. There's something I can't do. And I just came in full surrender. I said, "Lord, I need your strength for the journey." So I went home, told my daddy and told my mother. And that was a Thursday night. On Sunday, I went forward and told Brother Lionel Patton. He said, "Wonderful." He said, "You preach next Sunday night week." What did he say? I said, "Well, I didn't really mean it. I just... You know, you got to go to school or something first." The next day, a little country church called me and said, "I want you to come this Sunday and preach." So I went to Happy Home. There wasn't nothing happy about it for me, but I went to Happy Home and preached. Oh, they so encouraged me. The following Sunday night, I preached at my home church. There hadn't been many Sundays since then I hadn't had an invitation or opportunity. If you're not careful, after you walk with God for a while, you begin to think you can do it in the flesh. Yeah. You get comfortable. Yeah, and you get learning. I had an old country preacher tell me, he said, "Never forget, preacher, you got your burning before you got your learning." Amen. That means the Holy Ghost of God supersedes even your education. It doesn't mean you don't need it. We've had enough stupid, boring preaching. We need some people to learn. But I'd rather hear an old country boy full of the Holy Ghost as a guy full of himself. Amen. Be strong in the Lord. You got to be in the Lord, and the Lord's got to be in you. And for that to happen, you just got to open every door of your life and say, "Oh, God, here I am. Here I am." And when he comes, he gives strength and power. Say those two words with me, strength and power. One more time. He gives strength and power. Those two things, the outward and the inward manifestation. What God's looking for in this service today is somebody to throw open the doors of your life and say, "Lord, save me. Lord, I surrender. Lord, I give all unto you." I don't know who you are in this room, everybody, today, but when we stand to sing this song in just a moment, I'm going to be there. You're on that Warrington campus. The invitation is going to be to you. Throw open the doors of your life. Some of you need to throw open the door of membership. Some of you, the door of salvation. Somebody's here today. God called you to preach, but I'm here to tell you there's one more somebody in this room that ought to walk down here and say, "Pastor, I'm ready to be baptized. I'll do it this very morning." We'll baptize you before we leave here in just a few minutes. So, "Well, can I wait till next Sunday?" You can, unless God tells you got to do it today. Stand, be strong in the Lord. Father, I pray while I'm old and gray and pink that we can teach this generation and the generation to come about your strength and your power. It's my message for the last quarter of my life. It's going to be a lot of 2020 preaching to that next generation to see them come to full surrender. I know it's a different kind of day, but hey, it's early. It's not even 11 o'clock yet. It's not even time for lunch. Be great for you to deal with the Lord this day. I'm going to come stand right here. John's going to begin to sing, and when he sings, I'm going to invite you to get up out of your seat. You say, preacher, this is a great big crowd. Well, it is a lot of people, but you just come and obey one. Obey the eyes of heaven. Say, preacher, I'm coming today to be saved. I'm coming to join this church. I'm coming for baptism. I'm coming to say, I surrender all. I'm going to pray. When I say amen, we'll stand, and when we stand, John sings, and when he sings, you step out. You come. Be the very first one. Be the first one. Just come in obedience unto the Lord God. Father, have your way in this invitation time. Lord, there's people here. They know what they want to do and should do, but they're scared. Give them strength. God, help them do it and find their strength in the Lord, to be strong in the Lord. And I pray they'll come in full confession, saying yes unto you. Lord, help us make our calling and our election sure this very morning. Get glory, change lives, and draw people, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.